Well, friends, I am just incredibly grateful this day to open one of my favorite scriptures with you, but especially I'm grateful in this day when we have candles lit in front of us and we anticipate the opportunity to celebrate and remember the saints of God. This is a unique day for us in the church. It is All Saints Day. We might have celebrated some Halloween. There might be some candy in my house right now and in yours as well, but this is a day where we get to say thank you to God for the amazing people that God has gifted this world with, these giants of the faith that have passed along from our Cokesbury congregation. We'll name them in a few moments, but for many of us, there are giants in the faith. There are people we love, and we are holding them in our hearts this day, these precious loved ones who've helped to shape and form us, to grow us and love us into the people we are today. So I pray that this is a day that may indeed be filled with deep thoughts, deep emotions, maybe some tears, but I pray it's also a day that's filled with some laughter, with some smiles as perhaps you share stories and memories of dear ones. And as we think about our dear ones, as we think too about, again, these kind of spiritual giants of the faith, I think it's pretty ironic and maybe kind of a little funny that on this day, we are opening the Gospel of Luke together, and we are going to read about a particularly short man who runs ahead of a crowd and climbs up a tree, all because he just wants to see Jesus. So if you haven't already guessed it, and if you're not already singing that children's song about it, today we get to hear the story of Jesus and Zacchaeus. For those of you who may not know, he really is described as a short man in Scripture. I'm not trying to be mean. And I can't imagine what it must be like to be short either. That must be strange for people. So here we have this great kind of quirky, incredible, wonderful story where we get to learn about this man. And as you are making your way maybe to Luke chapter 19, it's towards the end of the Gospel of Luke. So if you've got your Bibles, go on and get them out, maybe pull it up on your phone, it'll be on the screens behind me. But I want you to know that at this point in the Gospel of Luke, Jesus is nearing the end of his earthly ministry. And so what we find is that he is beginning to make his way towards Jerusalem, not only to celebrate the Passover once he arrives there, but we get this sense now that he is set and determined. It is time for him to go to the cross. And though in the Gospel of Luke, in many of the Gospels, we find that Jesus is always available to the people who need him, always available to these crowds, this is a unique time because he just seems very set, very determined, very focused about the importance of getting to Jerusalem where the cross and the resurrection wait for him. And when he arrives in Jericho, he is not too far away from Jerusalem. It's only about a day's walk, and Jericho is this huge city. But it's like he just can't help himself, right? This is so like our God. Jesus is walking with this purpose and with this determination, but he is still engaging with people who come to him, all the ones who are lost and suffering, struggling and searching, and they might delay his progress a little bit. But what we find in this scripture is that reminder that we serve a Savior who always has time for his dear ones, doesn't he? So in the verses just before what we're going to read today, we learn that Jesus is entering towards Jericho, and while he's on his way into Jericho, he takes time to heal a blind man, and as he passes through Jericho, and again, passing through means he has no plans to stay, all of a sudden we encounter a crowd and this encounter with Zacchaeus. So look with me at Luke chapter 19, beginning with verse 1, and hear these words from the gospel. So Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through town. And a man there named Zacchaeus, a ruler among tax collectors, was rich. And he was trying to see who Jesus was, but being a short man, he couldn't because of the crowd. And so he ran ahead and climbed up a sycamore tree so he could see Jesus, who was about to pass that way. And when Jesus came to that spot, he looked up and said, "Zacchaeus, come down at once. I must stay in your home today." And so Zacchaeus came down at once, happy to welcome Jesus. And everyone who saw this grumbled, saying, "He has gone to be the guest of a sinner." Zacchaeus stopped and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my possessions to the poor, and if I have cheated anyone, I repay them four times as much." Jesus said to him, "Today, salvation has come to this household, because he too is a son of Abraham. The human one came to seek and save the lost." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. What a quirky and delightful and challenging story for us to explore on this day when we celebrate and remember the saints. Whether you're hearing this story for the first time or the 50th time, it is both grace-filled and I would say maybe a little bit fun. It's almost humorous to imagine this rich, powerful, yet apparently despised and ostracized man just running, climbing a tree to see Jesus, happy when Jesus invites himself over for dinner, giving half of his possessions to the poor, repaying fourfold anyone whom he's cheated, and ultimately receiving from Christ this reminder that he too is a son of Abraham, a child of God, one of the very ones whom Jesus has been seeking relentlessly, that he too might be saved. So in considering this story that may be admittedly familiar to very many of us, I want to encourage us today to focus in on this man, Zacchaeus, and I want us to focus in on the choices that he makes in each moment of this story. It may be a bit odd and quirky, but it is actually one of the most empowering stories that we find in Scripture and that we find as followers of Jesus, because we see what could happen in the life of a beloved child of God when we choose to pursue God, to focus on God, to do whatever it takes to know God more, to live more fully into God's kingdom, God's reign here on earth. So we're going to jump right in, and I want to tell you a couple of things right off the bat about Zacchaeus. All right, so it says that he's a ruler among tax collectors and rich, and one might first assume that this is going to be a problem for Zacchaeus, because remember that tax collectors in this time were often tossed into the same category as sinners. Right? Does that sound familiar? When Jesus is talking and dining with people, he gets critiqued a lot because he's always eating and communing with sinners and tax collectors. They're kind of in the same bucket somehow. And well, tax collectors were local Jewish people who worked for the Roman government, and they were not liked because they often were rich because they charged more than the actual tax that was required. So not only were they working for the enemy, right? Do you remember the Roman Empire is an extremely oppressive, notoriously unjust regime, especially difficult for this Jewish community. And so tax collectors took advantage of their fellow Jewish neighbors. And to be a ruler among tax collectors, or a chief tax collector, as other translations describe him, Zacchaeus likely had multiple tax collectors who were working for him. So in one commentary I read, Dr. Lorsug indicates that chief tax collectors often colluded with Rome to take advantage of others, and they would make even more of a profit. So it's like tax collector, bad. Chief tax collector, super duper bad. She says that chief tax collectors were like corrupt subprime mortgage agents on steroids. I can't even hardly say that. Yikes, that's pretty significant. And not to mention the fact that he was rich. And if you take a moment to flip through the gospel stories, any of them just about, around this topic of wealth, Jesus tells all of these parables, or he gives these warnings, these conversations that he has about wealth in general. You see, especially in the Gospel of Luke, that the rich are not typically the ones who are exactly lifted up and admired in the kingdom of God. Their wealth, more often than not, becomes this crippling hardship for them if they also want to follow the way of Jesus. And so I share all of that detail simply to note that Zacchaeus is probably the last person in Jericho that anyone would have imagined was following God so closely, was pursuing God, was looking for ways to live his life according to God's rules, God's kingdom, God's way. And for anyone hearing the story 2,000 years ago, the assumption would be that Zacchaeus is selfish, that he's corrupt, immoral, a lost cause. Does anybody in our own lives maybe pop to mind when we think of those descriptions? Like that first audience, as if we needed one more reason to disregard Zacchaeus, we learn that he is short in stature and so is literally and physically on the outside of things, struggling to see because of this crowd of people gathered around Jesus. So I think particularly for those of us who are vertically challenged, you know, it is not too hard to imagine someone dodging around, trying to just get through, trying just to see through this big crowd of people. And yet, at this critical point in the story, we begin to sense the unexpected from Zacchaeus. We begin to recognize that he is not at all who we thought he was. And given the situation, I mean, I can certainly imagine the many options he had before him, right? He could have just given up and gone on home and refused to see Jesus. He could have gotten frustrated or irritated with all of those people blocking the way. He might could have lashed out at someone and picked a fight. There were many, many options for Zacchaeus, many choices in front of him in those moments, but he chooses to try to get closer to God. He chooses to break into a full run and go ahead of Jesus in the crowd, and then he chooses to climb up a tree, all in an effort, Scripture tells us, simply to see Jesus. And at first glance, that might not seem like that big of a deal. I mean, Granny Franny runs and chases our kids all the time. But back in that time, it was not okay. It was completely undignified and inappropriate for any adult to run anywhere, let alone climb a tree. But it would have been particularly unbecoming of someone with power and wealth. And for those in the crowd who are looking for just one more reason to judge this rich chief tax collector, they were likely either shocked or self-righteously satisfied with how impulsive Zacchaeus was behaving. But in choosing to do whatever it takes to see Jesus, Zacchaeus shows us in this very tangible way what it looks like to prioritize God in our lives, to pursue God even when it might cost us something. You see, friends, Zacchaeus is choosing to abide in God and in the outbreaking of God's kingdom, God's reign here on earth, and choosing to focus on what it means to live according to God's ways means that Zacchaeus is more motivated by belonging to God than he is by belonging to a judgmental, harsh, exclusive community of people who, if we will let this scripture step on our toes a little bit, we are reminded, are apparently also trying to follow Jesus. Zacchaeus makes an incredible choice that day, but he's not the only one who's making choices, right? Jesus chooses to halt his very purposeful, very directed mission to Jerusalem. And why? Just so he can spend a little bit of time with this dear man whom he has seen running and climbing and knocking down every obstacle in his way in order to get closer to God. Jesus chooses to honor Zacchaeus, even invites himself over for dinner, and just as Zacchaeus has been running around, urgent and eager to see Jesus, the Greek in this scripture indicates that Jesus too is moving and acting with this sense of urgency. And it's like these two just can't wait for the world to be as God has always dreamed it could be. And so they are so motivated, they are so energized by one another, they are happy and grateful for this opportunity to spend time together, abiding in the kingdom and in the reign and in the ways of God. Yet again, here, I think if we're honest, we might assume that this is the point in Scripture where maybe Jesus will start talking to Zacchaeus a little bit more about what it means to be a faithful disciple. Maybe Jesus will give him some advice on how he can continue to grow in grace and truth and love. But as we hear the crowd at this point making its own choice to judge and critique, grumbling about Jesus being the guest of a sinner, Zacchaeus surprises us yet again, choosing to stop and perhaps defend himself, telling Jesus, and I'm sure the crowd overheard this as well, that he gives, not that he will give, but that he already gives half of his possessions to the poor, half. And that he repays four times as much to anyone whom he has cheated. Four times as much. Friends, it seems that this man, Zacchaeus, is not merely a vertically challenged, rich, impulsive tax collector. God has been working in the life of Zacchaeus in transforming, healing, grace-filled ways already. And by choosing to abide in Christ, by choosing to draw near to God through Jesus, Zacchaeus is already living his life as a profoundly changed man. Though he may still be rich, the result of his encounter with God is a life that is changed, a household that is saved, an entire Jericho community that is now beginning to heal in some way because this man is all of a sudden caring in physical and monetary ways for the people who are in need around him. We might have just concluded our sermon series on extravagant generosity, but here it is joyfully expressing itself again in the life of this unexpected servant of God. So what are we to do with this wee little man, as the children's song says, and as you're probably singing in the back of your mind? I hope it's not stuck there all day. The thing is, as we think about Zacchaeus, we focus in on Jesus as well. God in Christ is always on the lookout for us, seeking and saving the lost, inviting us into the reality of God's kingdom, God's reign, where everybody has enough, where all are welcome and all are loved, even especially those whom we might judge to be far away from God. That's just how big God is. The power of this encounter between Jesus and Zacchaeus is the promise of God to move in our lives in these completely unexpected ways that we cannot even begin to imagine. So Zacchaeus is already living into the reality of God's reign by how he handles his wealth, by his eagerness to see Jesus, by his passion to know God more, by his desire to repent and to help restore anyone whom he has harmed. And so, friends, I want you to hear me this day when I say that God is also faithful to do a new thing in your life as well. In your life and mine, Jesus will continue to seek us out, offering to save us, inviting us into this new reality of God's reign where we're in the already and the not yet, where we've seen who God is and we know what kind of community we are called to be. And on this particular day, when we celebrate the saints who have already been swept up into God's eternal kingdom, we have to ask ourselves, will we be faithful in our lives as they were faithful in theirs? Will we choose, like Zacchaeus, to belong to God's kingdom, to participate in that kingdom while we're here on earth, just as we will in heaven? For many of us, the saints we will name and celebrate in just a few moments are those who chose to abide in the reign of God. And like Zacchaeus, they might not have been perfect, but I bet we can all remember those big and those small ways that they chose to trust God. And God was faithful to change them, to grow them in love. Love and grace and courage and in faith. So as you think about the saints of God, go on and call them to your mind, call them to your heart this day. I think it's kind of fun and wonderful to think about that wee little man, Zacchaeus, up there with all those giants of the faith, with Jeremiah and Peter and Mary and Martha and Mother Teresa and Martin Luther King Jr. and my grandmothers Emma and Marjorie and your dear ones too, and all of those saints, those who were young, those who were old, the poor saints, the powerless saints, the wealthy ones, the powerful ones, all gathered up together in this great holy mystery. And you know what they're doing right now? They're preparing to join us for this incredible communion table feast, this moment of grace, all those precious, beautiful children of God who chose to abide, who chose to live, who chose to journey with and be influenced by Jesus. Somehow they are all with us right now. So friends, it's my prayer this day that we would just run toward God with all of that joy, all of that reckless abandon that we see in Zacchaeus, that we would choose to pay attention to what God is doing right in front of us, that we might plant some more sycamore trees in case there are some judgmental crowds preventing God's precious children from seeing Jesus. I pray that we would choose to abide in God's reign, honoring those who have shown us the way, and grateful for this God who seeks and saves. Will you pray with me? God, as we celebrate your precious children this day, the saints like Zacchaeus who have gone on before us, help us to choose as they did, God, to draw near to you each day, to look in each moment for opportunities to see you at work in this world, to abide in your presence and in your reign, your kingdom here on earth. Help us to choose to journey with you, God, grateful to serve you now and forevermore. Amen.